Well, good afternoon again, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath day. I'm still a little bit warm from setting up here, so everyone else is nice and cool. I'm the only one running around here. So, we want to continue this week and try to wrap this up today. This is the third part of Hope. What is it? And it's a very important series that we've been going through. It's a lot of things that come up in a person's life. And without this hope and without this confidence, we all can get bogged down on things. And if we turn inward and we turn to self, then we get depressed. And whenever you go through something, always ask God to give you mercy and have mercy upon you, and that you'll have a clear head, and that you'll always see Him in everything that you do. Because that's our only real hope, brethren. Without that, we are all lost. But we have a hope that other people don't have, and we have a confidence that other people don't have. Now, last week, we went through what our Father really did for us. And He did it all, and we did nothing. We did absolutely nothing. We read through Ephesians there on what God has done. And it's an amazing story what He has done for us. He has done it all. He has brought us out of this world. He has brought us into His very family. And it's something that we can all be thankful for the rest of our lives, rest of eternity, because God did it, and He did it all. We have to have this hope and this confidence in our very lives. We just have to have it, and we have to ask for it. And it is part of that fruit of the Spirit as He gives us more and more faith. He is the only one that can give it by His Holy Spirit. He has to give it. You cannot manufacture hope. You can't manufacture some type of a confidence. It has to come from within. It has to come by that Spirit. It is what makes life worth living. Think about that. If you were just out in this world, what would there be to live for except self? That's all. We have something that is coming. We are a part of something. We are a part of the very body of Jesus Christ. And so we must understand at all times who we are and where we're going. You know, what He is doing inside of all of us is all for His glory. It's not for our glory. It's not for our benefit. It is for His glory. Now, we do benefit anytime the Father is around us, anytime that we do godly things that His Holy Spirit allows us to do. It is, of course, a benefit to us personally. But it is to His glory. Nothing good can come from you. If anything good ever comes out of you, in your mind, out of your mouth, out of any of your actions, it comes because of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing and working within you. Otherwise, it can't come. There may be some little physical thing here and there that God has planted well within us with His true human nature. And when we see an accident or something and we run over to help people, that's a natural instinct, and that's what God put in there. I'm talking about the thoughts and what comes out of our mind and our mouth. Anything there that comes out good comes from the Father. And I think that we all understand that. You know, Peter tells us about this hope. So I want to go back into the Bible and start to read a little bit. So let's turn back to 1 Peter. Now, don't everyone write in for this. I mention these things. I guess I shouldn't. And then people hear the tapes. And then I haven't gotten to that particular sermon yet. And I get all these requests writing in. Now, don't write in right away for this. Okay? But I want to do a series on Peter. He was the chief apostle. And we want to go through one of these days all of his works and just go through it and see it and have a study of Peter and what he wrote. And you will see how concise he is. And you will see that he is right on the money all the time. He's just right there. And he has that very mind of Jesus Christ within him. So coming back here to 1 Peter 1, talking about this hope and this confidence. Starting in verse 2, he's addressing everyone here and he says, we're having trouble with that. Well, we'll just go with the other recorder today. These are all of our technical snafus going on. The spirits aren't working here. So, at least my clock is still working. Let's hope that keeps on going. Okay. In 1 Peter 1, verse 2, it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience." This is why we're here. "Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." This is a greeting. He's talking about what our calling really is all about here. It says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that, brethren, right there, is what this is all about. What is your hope and what is your confidence? We covered that a little bit last week, that we have all been under this bondage of death our whole lifetime. And we have lived in this satanic world and is absolutely foul and wretched. But he's talking about this lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our hope. And look what he has for us here in verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away." This inheritance never goes away, brethren. Once you are sealed, once you have God's Holy Spirit, and you are a first fruit, it never goes away. It says, "and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Is absolutely reserved in heaven for you. Not if you do nice during your life. Not if you push around a few chairs, collect a few hymnals, say nice things to people in church, then he'll let you in. No. You're already there. You're as good as there. You have God's Spirit. It will never be taken away from you. You cannot lose it. And your, this resurrection, this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. And how is it kept there? In verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's all of us, brethren. and it's saved and it's kept by the power of God through that faith unto salvation. And that, of course, will all come true in the time that is coming. Brethren, that's our faith. That is our confidence. And without it, we are nothing. That's why we're here. We're not here just to promote our daily little life and our daily job and our daily little family, what we want to accomplish. Accomplish as much as you can. Do as best as you can at work. Enjoy life as much as you can under these circumstances. But we're here for the glory of God. We're here that that glory will be shown in that kingdom when we all stand with Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, brethren, for that hope and for that confidence and for that resurrection. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 5 speaks here about for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. It's laid up there for you, and you must have the confidence. Don't ever, ever go back to the thinking that, well, we as human beings, you know, we could commit the unpardonable sin and then we would lose out. That is what Satan's counterfeit would love you to think. Always being on edge. Brethren, stand with confidence, knowing that Satan and his angels are the only ones who committed the unpardonable sin. And they will roast in hell for that. And thank God for that. But you are a very child of God. And there's two resurrections. One, the first fruits. And the second, that great harvest where all mankind will come up. And they'll live forever. God's got a wonderful plan for all of us here in this room, in God's church, and he has a wonderful plan for all the rest of those human beings that live today and have ever lived. Think of all those different little tribes down in South America and Africa and all the way up to the Eskimos and over in Russia and China. Never had a life like you and I have had, but God loves them as well. And for all those 40,000, I know I say it a lot, but it's such a thing to think about. It's a horrendous thing that every day, as we stuff our face with food, 40,000 children die around this world because of lack of food and just sanitary conditions. Think of that. Don't ever forget what Satan is doing. Don't think we can put a couple of band-aids on this society and say, well, here, Father, we fix it up. Come on down and join us. It's pretty nice here. It isn't nice here. It happens to be prosperous here. Just prosperous for the time being. When you make out your taxes every year on April 15th and turn them in, that money that you are paying for freedom. Don't think that this is a free country and freedom is just out there for the taking. You're paying for it. You're paying for all the roads. You're paying for the buildings. You're paying for air traffic. You're paying for everything. And you're paying for a huge army and defense network that keeps you free. And don't think you don't. So when people say in these other churches, oh, well, we only tithe on the net because the government's kind of just stealing that from us, and we get no benefit from it. So if we're not getting benefit from it, we don't have to count that. Baloney. What did Mr. Armstrong have everyone tithe on? Always. Through 50 years. You tithe on the gross, didn't you? And we tithe on the gross here. Because that is your increase. Now, if you think you can go to another country, maybe make a little bit more and pay a little less taxes and have a little bit more for yourself, go ahead, be my guest. You won't find that to be true. So, are you getting a benefit from something that you pay for the government? Absolutely. And of course, being part of this country, I guess I shouldn't say this, but you also pay. And when we get a soap opera in the government out there in Washington, D.C., and it doesn't matter who's out there. People think Reagan was almost God. You know, he wasn't. And he lied to the country. And Bush lied to the country. And every president has lied to the country. And they've done their undermining and dirty deals. Some things have come out in public. Some things have not. And I think just the soap opera alone is worth a few bucks a year, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to sit there and watch it every day on TV. You just, well, I guess we are watching it every day on TV, on the news. But generally speaking, it just comes up once or twice a week or whatever. Right now, it's every day. But that too shall pass, won't it? And we'll get on to the next personality, and then all their skeletons will come out of the closet too, won't it? This isn't a good country. No country is good. Only God is good. God hasn't put his stamp of approval on the United States of America. The United States of America was not founded on God. It was founded on the God of this world, yes, but not our Holy Father in heaven, it hasn't been. Obviously, or everyone would be here today with us, wouldn't they? So these are things that go around. I hear this once in a while, even from church members. And I have in the past, not lately, but in the past. And we have to get this idea out of our mind. And let's get back to where our hope and confidence really is. That's in Jesus Christ. That's in the Father in heaven. And that's in that resurrection. And that is with that kingdom to come. That is where our hope is. That is where our full confidence lies. So here in Colossians 5, let's keep on going here. In verse 6, it says, which is unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. See, this truth of the gospel that we just read about is laid up there in heaven for you. And you grow in this daily. And you bring forth fruit. We're supposed to. Not just physical fruit, but spiritual fruit as well, as he is working with us. In verse 23, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, this confidence in this message, confidence in that gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under the sun, or under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister. And he's telling us about that. And verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what all this hope and confidence is. It's that there is a message, that there is a church, that Jesus Christ was here, and that we're going to be with him forever in the kingdom of God. That's that confidence. And that mystery about bringing it to the entire world, to all the Gentile nations, which we all have been a part of. Thank God that he has this hope and this confidence within us. Why would we want to keep going otherwise? Some weeks and some days it gets pretty hard to keep on going in this lousy world. But we're here, so let's make the best of it. Let's keep the best attitude. Keep our mind on where it's supposed to be, and things will generally work out better for us. And who is our hope? I've been saying who our hope is, but let's read about it. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Christ is our hope. He is that hope, and he is that confidence. And without it, we are absolutely lost. We just don't have it. Turn over to Titus. Titus has a few things to talk about in this. Titus 1, verse 2. It says, Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's a big statement. That's the inspired word of God, brethren. It doesn't go away. It's there. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's something. That is your hope. And that's our destiny. In Titus 2, don't have to go far, it's basically covered here in a couple of pages, isn't it? Titus 2, verse 13, says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Always has been our hope, hasn't it? You know, it really is, as far as the Christian religions, it's their kind of hope, too. But it's more of a maybe. And I think, and I want, and maybe against all odds, this could possibly happen. Wouldn't it be nice to have some kind of a heaven? Because most people, when they really look in the mirror and really analyze their life, realize, well, there may be heaven, but I'm probably going to hell anyway. After all, that's where all my friends are. You know the old joke. And if everyone was judged by what we all have done, we'd probably see our friends intermixed there with all the flames just for a second as he wiped us all out. But luckily, that's not in store for mankind. That's only in store for Satan and all of his little buddies. And they've worked very, very hard over all these thousands and thousands of years, possibly millions of years, to get there. And, you know, they earned their reward, didn't they? With a lot of gnashing and clattering of teeth. In Titus 3, verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we being justified by His grace. We should be made heirs, heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah, the Bible really does have a lot to say about hope, doesn't it? And it's always in context of eternal life and of Jesus Christ and that confidence. We should be made heirs, the very sons of God. You know the scriptures. It tells us that we have been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Joint heir, you know what that means? You are an heir to the universe, to everything the Father is, to everything that the Father has, to everything that the Father has had created. That's yours, and that's mine. Joint heirs as sons. This hope of eternal life. Let's never let that get away from us, brethren. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. He goes on here. It says, But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we? We are His house. We are this body, and Christ is over it. And Christ is the head of that body and head of that church. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Confidence and hope firm to the end. That's what it's all about. It's all about that. In Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of the full assurance of hope unto the end. The apostles continually talk about it all the time, all the time. Why? Why? Because it was their whole life. There wasn't anything else in their life than this. Go back to 1 Peter. I just want you to see that hope is spread all through the Bible here. And there's a lot to say about it. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, Peter goes on here and says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind... Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be sober. Get your mind in gear and hope to the end. This perfect end that's coming. That the grace of this revelation in Jesus Christ. That's where all the hope and confidence goes. Over and over and over and over again, doesn't it? Always goes there. Verse 21. He says, Who by Him do believe in God. By Christ you do believe in God. By Christ is the head of the church. By receiving the Holy Spirit, by seeing the wonders that He has done. We believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Do we think sometimes way too much about our jobs, about what we're doing in life, about our hobbies, about what's on television, about whatever? Or are we always constant, instant in prayer, knowing that we live and breathe because of God and what our future really is? You know, if you keep that right out there all the time, when you go through discouraging times, when different things happen to you, your mind won't get off of God, will it? Stays on God. Stays on that overall purpose. Not all bogged down in all this daily life that we all have to live. And I have to agree and admit that it weighs you down pretty hard sometimes. But when that does happen, get on your knees or go instant in prayer. Say, Father, lift me out of this. Don't even let me go there. I don't want to even go there. I don't want my mind concentrating on that garbage. We have something better to look forward to. You know, what's the old saying about, hey, keep a good thought? Well, maybe we can apply that in our lives. Let's keep a good thought. That's what the apostles have been telling us. Keep a good thought. Always keep it on Christ. Always keep it on that plan of salvation. When you look at other people, when other people do you injustice, cut you off, do whatever, what happens, just think, well, isn't it going to be marvelous that someday they're going to stand in front of God and live forever, and they're going to be as happy as I am? Not like we used to think. Someday they'll stand in front of God, and they're going to have to answer because they did wrong for, you know, to me. No. They're ignorant. They're unaware. They don't know what's going on. No, they're not going to have to answer for that, what they did to you. Because you should have already forgiven them. Are you doing that? Should. We all should. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's what we're talking about. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, reverence. You know, we were always quoted this in the past, weren't we? Always study, pray, bone up on all this, because if somebody asks you a question about your salvation, you should just gladly tell them. You know, in most cases we tell them and the person would start laughing because the plan, frankly, didn't make too much sense once we've seen the true plan of salvation. But now you can stand in front of people. I do this all the time with people out in the world because they ask. I'm in a situation, I have to make plans for the church, I have to arrange different things, and they say, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? So I have to tell them. I've had police officers ask me that in conversation. You know, generally, you know, you might get a little squeamish around a policeman, but you just answer and you say it in their terms that they will understand. You tell them this hope, this very hope that is in you. Don't you have this hope? This true plan of salvation? Can't you say, well, listen, you know, I know things in this world isn't going maybe as well as it should. But I want to tell you something. God has a plan. You can explain it very simply like this. God has a plan. It's for the whole world. And obviously, He's not working a lot on the earth today. We can all see that and agree with that. But he does have a plan, as for, and it includes all mankind. And he's working with different groups of different people at different times. But the end result is that everyone, every human being, is going to be in the family of God and live forever in that kingdom. Everyone. I mean, you have sinned, and you know your neighbors have sinned, and other people have sinned. Well, that's why Jesus Christ came here. He came here to save the world. And by his death and by his resurrection, he did. And there is going to be a hell fire. But there's good news. There's good news and bad news. Bad news is there's a hell fire. The good news is only Satan and his demons are going to be thrown in that, never to hurt God's people again. And so, explain it. That is your hope. That is your confidence. And I have explained that, sometimes in a little bit more detail. And every time, people on the outside will start to get tears in their eyes. And many will say, and this is what they say, you know, I really hope that's what's going to happen. I really hope that's what's going to happen. Because they haven't been told any plan. In their plan, most people stoke the coals down there in hell or float around in purgatory and frankly never make it. And their view of heaven isn't so good anyway, is it? And when they hear a good plan that all human beings are going to make it and that God, what you're really doing is telling people that God truly does love everyone. And he's going to take care of his family. It may not seem like it now, but he's doing something very important right now as well. And give them that. Give them the answer. Because it's important that people do hear that. In 1 John, let's turn over to 1 John. You know, you don't have to be afraid anymore about speaking about this plan. Now, people will still hate you for it. But you should have that confidence and that joy of what's going on. In 1 John 3, in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. If you have this hope within you, then you know you're part of the very body of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is pure. And by understanding this, and seeking it, and reveling in it, this very plan of God, we become more and more like him. Now, through all of this, what's the bottom line on this? This hope and confidence. What really is the bottom line? Well, let's get into this subject a little bit, because it's very interesting. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. That's the best it'll come out today. 4. You all know where I'm going. Okay, in chapter 4. In verse 13. This is really the bottom line, brethren. This is why you have this hope. This is why we're all thinking about it, and that's why we're all here. He tells us here in verse 13, chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to the church. Concerning them which are asleep. A lot of us would just call them dead. But he doesn't. The apostles don't, neither does Christ, as we will see. Concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not. Even as others which have no hope. Brethren, when people die in this world, people sorrow, and sorrow a lot. I mean a lot. And there is a time to grieve, and there's a time for sorrow. But they sorrow a lot. Why? Because they have no hope. They have no hope. When they look at their relatives, they're dead. They have wishes and maybe something may happen, but they're dead. We don't have to be that way. Talks about us. Don't be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. They're just asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Brethren, he's going to do it. There's nothing here that says, well, maybe this will happen, maybe this won't. Well, we'll just see. Is that the way it's going to work? Really? Is that the way it's going to work? I don't think so. God gives us a very hope and an excitement, and we know that our loved ones just sleep. And you can go by all these different cemeteries all over the world, and they're all sleeping. There's one that we passed when we were visiting friends down in Big Sandy, Texas, and we're driving into Longview. And most of the church that have died over all those years are buried there. There are all kinds of first fruits in there. Now, everyone's going to come up, but I'll tell you, when that first resurrection happens, and they all come out of their graves, they're going to all be bumping because there's so many of the church people who are buried in that one little lonely country cemetery. But we know that's going to happen. That is the hope. And they're just resting there. They're just sleeping. See, Christ overcame Satan, so they sleep. If he had not overcome Satan, then they would be dead. And they would be dead forever, never to come up. But Christ overcame that, so they're just sleeping. And in a moment, we'll go through a little bit more of this.